anti-abortion advocates clashed with University of Wisconsin Medical School leaders early last week over a proposal that would end an arrangement that allows UW physicians to perform abortions and train their students at Planned Parenthood. The bill would make it illegal for UW employees to train medical residents or perform abortions at Planned Parenthood or any other private facility where abortions are done, other than hospitals. This is where we begin the State Capitol Report with Laura White. She is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. Laura, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this bill limiting abortion training that received a public hearing last week, the bill's co-sponsor, Representative Andre Jacques of DePere, says concerns about its impact on UW's OBGYN program are exaggerated. So what do the bill's supporters want out of this legislation?
Well, what Jacques has said is that he's concerned about a public university performing abortions. He has some concerns, and other supporters, I think, have concerns that state employees are performing abortions as, you know, in their official capacity as state employees on state time. So this issue gets a little bit wonky when you really get into it. So doctors in the OBGYN program at the University of Wisconsin Med School go, as you mentioned, to Planned Parenthood to perform these procedures, to teach their students how to perform these procedures. And when they're there, they're paid by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood pays the university. The university then turns around and pays the doctors. So no state money, no taxpayer dollars are funding these abortions. But essentially, Representative Jacques, who's the sponsor of the bill, says that's not good enough. He says the reimbursements aren't good enough. So I think we actually have a clip of him kind of explaining that point during the committee hearing.
Would we continually allow and pay state employees to run a strip joint on state time or harvest organs from political prisoners for the Chinese government as long as someone else eventually reimburses the state for their salary?
Those are pretty, those are fighting words there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some pretty strong words. I mean, obviously, this is an issue that is very contentious, and emotions were running high in the hearing. The committee chair, Leah Vukmir, mentioned, you know, basically killing babies on state time and the legislation saving babies' lives.
And Vukmir, Leah Vukmir, who is the co-sponsor, is also running for U.S. Senate. Could this bill give her a boost among the Republican base?
Well, that's certainly a possibility. She's the chair of the committee. She's a co-sponsor of the legislation. She was speaking, as I mentioned, in, you know, strong terms, emotional rhetoric about this issue, and people are paying close attention to Leah Vukmir these days. So really everything she does is under a microscope, and this is a pretty high profile thing. So
what is the reaction of opponents to this bill?
Well, this was a really interesting committee hearing. We had the dean of the UW Med School come in and say that it would threaten the accreditation of the OBGYN program at the university. He says in order to get accreditation from, you know, the national overseeing body, students have to be able to perform abortions. That's part of the training package that's agreed upon by, you know, the field. And he said that if this option, if this training was removed from the curriculum, it would hurt recruitment of students, because if they wanted to, you know, have this kind of nationally agreed upon curriculum, they wouldn't come to Wisconsin if that wasn't being offered, and some faculty would leave, he argued as well. And he said that would really, the combination of those two things would contribute to Wisconsin's OBGYN shortage, which certainly wouldn't be a good thing, of course. I think my favorite part of any legislative hearing is when you get real people to come in and talk about their personal experience and how it would really affect them.
Oh, the medical students.
Exactly. So we got that. We don't get that every time, but we got that this time. We had a current med student come in who wants to go into the OBGYN program. He's not in it yet, but he talked about how, you know, if this option were eliminated, how that would affect him. And his name is Joseph Lawley. And he basically said, you know, there are certain things that need to be treated essentially by terminating a pregnancy. There are conditions that a mother-to-be will have at certain stages of her pregnancy that the only way to save her life is to terminate the pregnancy. And so at the end of his testimony, he spoke directly to lawmakers, and he made it kind of personal. He used, you know, you, and anyway, take a listen to what Joseph Lawley had to say.
The point I want to leave you with is this. At some point really soon, I'm going to be the one who you or your wife sees when you come in for your second trimester physical. I am going to be the one who puts that blood pressure cuff on you, and I am going to be the one who tells you that your blood pressure is 210 over 150, and that your organs are shutting down. And I will be the one who will be frantically calling the attending physician, trying to find someone who knows the procedure necessary to save your life. And if I can't find them in time, then I'm going to have to be the one to do it. I really want to know what I'm doing, and don't you?
Yeah, so definitely an emotional moment there from him. And like I said, it's always great to get kind of a personal perspective. So we definitely got that on Tuesday.
And what's next for the bill?
Well, it has already been heard in an assembly committee. That happened in July. And I don't believe it's been up for a vote in that assembly committee. And it wasn't up for the vote in the Senate committee where it was on Tuesday. So we're waiting on committee votes. And if it passes those committees, it'll go to the full assembly and Senate at some point.
We're talking with Laurel White. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. It is the state capitol report here on the morning show. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we move on to what is happening in Foxconn. What are you watching for as the Foxconn deal proceeds? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Laurel, the leaders of Governor Walker's job creation agency met behind closed doors to discuss these contract negotiations with Foxconn, but didn't take any action. We heard from Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee, who declined to describe the problem, but characterized it as a nuclear bomb that had not been addressed in the contract. So what do we know about this meeting?
So this was really kind of unexpected. A lot of people believed that the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation board was going to approve that contract on Tuesday. I think we kind of headed into the meeting with reporters gathered outside and, you know, everybody ready and in anticipation of kind of getting those final details and getting the sign off, because the original deadline for the Foxconn contract was September 30th. So we're obviously a little bit past that now, or a bit past
quite
that.
Quite a bit past that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this was something that really kind of came out of nowhere. And the Wisconsin State Journal reported that unidentified problem that Senator Carpenter spoke to and called it a nuclear bomb in the contract. We still don't know what that issue was.
And would not have protected taxpayers whatsoever.
Right, right. And, you know, that was a big part of the Foxconn, you know, legislation negotiations as lawmakers were approving the deal, what protections are in there for taxpayers in terms of clawing back some of those incentives, that money, if Foxconn doesn't meet job creation requirements or, you know, any variety of other things. The job creation numbers were really kind
of
the biggie. Exactly. So maybe it has something to do with that. It could be environmental protections. As you know, there were a lot of environmental regulations that were waived in the Foxconn deal with the state. So we'll just have to keep, you know, our eyes and ears open as this process evolves. We're certainly going to be trying to figure out what that issue in the contract was. And we have a little bit more time to wait because the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation isn't expected to take up the contract again now until November. Because the governor's going on a trade mission to Israel, and the CEO of WEDIC is going to go with him. So there essentially won't be an opportunity for the board to meet to approve the Foxconn contract until November.
In limbo there. So what would a vote by WEDIC do?
Well, basically what happens here, and this is really interesting because they actually aren't voting on the entire contract itself. It's not like the full contract gets set down in front of them and they get to thumb through it. They're reading staff memos from WEDC about what's in the contract. So once they, you know, kind of review that summary, say it's okay, you know, that's the state's sign off. Of course, Foxconn has to sign off as well. And then once that happens, we've got the construction, the hiring, all of that good stuff laid out. We've got years and years of Foxconn news ahead of us, Kate. So to be continued. It is the State Capitol Report on this Monday, and Laurel White is here with us. She is an explainer on the bills in circulation. Laurel is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. You can follow her work on Twitter at LK White. Join in the discussion as well, 800-642-1234. What do you think of a bill that involves the sale of the Green Bay Correctional Institution? Do you want to see industrial hemp in the state? Why or why not? What do you think of the governor's video announcing his campaign launch? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation after this news update. Stay with us. On this Monday, October 23rd, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show. Laurel White stays with us. She's Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter, and she's getting us up to speed on legislation in the works and votes that are scheduled. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this riot bill package that we heard about last week? What do you think about a bill that involves the sale of the Green Bay Correctional Institution? How about industrial hemp in the state? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So turning back to the legislature, Laurel, there was a hearing on Thursday about a GOP-backed proposal that would create penalties for rioting in Wisconsin. So what do we know about this from supporters?
Well, so this bill is sponsored by Senator Van Wongard of Racine in the Senate. And he essentially says that penalties for people who participate in riots in Wisconsin aren't up to date, aren't specific enough. People, of course, can be charged with crimes for defacing property, destroying property, things like that. But he really wants to update state legislation so people who participate in riots bring a weapon to a riot or block a roadway while participating in a riot will have specific fines. So those specific fines for the just participation in the riot in general, it would be a felony with a penalty of up to $10,000 and imprisonment for up to 3.5 years. It would also be a felony to bring a weapon, a dangerous weapon, I think is what they call it, in the legislation. So, of course, that, you know, a firearm.
Could be a number of things.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty broad language there. So that one would come with a penalty of up to $25,000 or imprisonment for 10 years. The blocking a roadway piece of the legislation would just be a fine of up to $10,000 and a jail sentence no longer than 9 months. So just kind of reaction to some things that have been happening across, you know, Wisconsin, certainly across the country, in terms of crowds gathering, getting out of control. The Senator Van Wongard, said that this bill is partially in response to the unrest in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood last year, right after the fatal police shooting of Civil Smith. So when he was testifying about this bill, Senator Wongard really hit on that point that I mentioned before, that, you know, the statutes just aren't up to date in terms of penalizing people for participating in riots. So here's a little clip of that intro testimony that he gave on Thursday.
And in the wake of recent disruptions, both in our state and across the nation, it is important to focus on keeping the public safe and holding those responsible accountable.
So what do opponents have to say about this move to really hone in on what is okay in a riot situation, which doesn't seem like much?
Mm-hmm.
So this really gets back to, it's an issue that we've had coming up again and again in the state legislature this year, interestingly enough, about protest and protecting the rights of protesters while promoting the free speech and safety of everyone. So a prominent opponent to this legislation in the committee that heard it on Thursday was Senator Lena Taylor, who represents Milwaukee. And she said that it would have a chilling effect on nonviolent protest.
In my opinion, the way that it is set up, it really does put us on the track of suppressing speech versus encouraging the expression of speech.
So where does this bill stand then?
Well, the bill has already passed an assembly committee. That happened earlier this summer. Speaker Voss hasn't said whether he'll bring it up for a vote. I reached out to his spokesperson again last week and didn't get a reply. So does that mean that he's not interested and this is kind of the end of the line? Sometimes that happens with bills. They pass committee and they just never come up before the full body. So that could happen in the assembly. We are going to have some session days at the end of this month and the beginning of next month, so we could see it come up in the assembly as soon as next week, I think, are the first session days coming up soon. So it hasn't been voted on in this Senate committee yet. It was just a public hearing. So the next steps would be going before the full assembly and the Senate committee vote.
Also on Thursday, lawmakers held a public hearing on a bill involving the 120-year-old Green Bay Correctional Institution. What about this measure?
So this is so fascinating. This is the second oldest prison, I believe, in the state of Wisconsin. The only one that's older is Wappan. And that one was actually built just 6 years after Wisconsin became a state, or 6 years before. I mean, these prisons are quite old.
Yeah.
So what this proposal would do would be sell the Green Bay prison and contract out to private bidders to build a new facility that the state would then lease back.
Okay, so what are the supporters saying on the measure?
Supporters are saying that the current prison is overfull. You know, it's over capacity, as many facilities are in the state of Wisconsin and across the country. And they're saying that this land that the prison is on is actually very valuable commercially. And because it's near Lambeau Field, it's downtown.
It's got a good view.
It's got a good view, apparently. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they're saying that the town kind of built up around it,
mm-hmm.
and that it would be a better use of Green Bay's space to kind of renovate some of the facilities, turn this prison, some of its buildings, into apartments or commercial space. Representative David Steffen, who's from Green Bay, who's a big supporter of this change, said that millennials might be particularly interested in living in a renovated prison. So
leave it to millennials.
I mean, right. Just point to millennials.
When in doubt.
Right, exactly. So it's just kind of an interesting argument there. And then he also talked about the space issue, David Steffen did, in the committee hearing.
We are running out of space. We are out of space. We are maxed out at our maximum security facilities. We have to find solutions, and we have to begin to move forward on those.
Well, and we've had some Facebook activity on this. Dan comments, he says, we don't have enough prisons. He argues too many people are getting off now and we need to be tougher on crime. He says shutting down a prison makes the state go backwards.
Well, we wouldn't be shutting down a prison. We would just be building a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are saying that the replacement would actually cover the populations at the Green Bay facility and Wappan. So we don't know, you know, of course, the details on the size, but the goal isn't to reduce the number of, reduce the capacity for the state, certainly.
Well, as I know we're kind of running short on time here, the governor released a campaign video in the last week. It features him talking about his record over the past 7 years as governor. It also references this summer's new Foxconn technology group plans to locate a factory in Racine County. What did you make of this video drop, 60-second video drop?
Well, it was just another step in the creepy crawl toward the governor's reelection announcement. We know that he's going to run. He's had a campaign manager for, I think, months now. So it kind of hit on the themes that we were expecting from the governor. Of course, the Foxconn deal, unemployment numbers in Wisconsin, job growth, things like that. The real themes that
he's been developing for months, several months, as he leads up to the reelection bid. We did actually last week get the official campaign announcement date. So he
isn't it like November 5th?
November 5th. We have a concrete date to reference now instead of
put it on the books
after,
right?
The budget is signed sometime in November. So he's going to announce that on November 5th at Weldall Manufacturing in Waukesha.
Okay. And so a number of Democrats have lined up to run in this race. Mm-hmm. I think 8 at last check.
I'm just going with several at this point. It's a lot. It's there's a large field of Democrats. I think, you know, we had more than a dozen that were strongly considering or were officially in. Some of those candidates include State School Superintendent Tony Evers, State Representative Dana Walks, State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, Matt Flynn, who's a Milwaukee lawyer, Andy Gronick, who is a Milwaukee businessman. Mike McCabe might be familiar to some of our listeners. He's party, a political activist. So we're keeping an eye on some other folks who might decide to jump into the race. It seems like it would be late now, after we have so many people on the table, but, you know, it's all relative. So we have an eye on Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. He's talked a little bit about that. So we'll, of course, keep
toyed
everyone.
With it.
Yes,
yeah.
He's toyed with it. So we'll keep everybody up to date about the changing Democratic field for governor.
Well, Laurel, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter. She joined us to delve into the latest on the happenings involving our state lawmakers.